Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The Yankees get bonds. No, not Barry Bonds. Tax-exempt bonds. Nearly $1 billion worth to be repaid in lieu of property taxes. That public subsidy is one reason opponents of the new Yankee Stadium proposal are getting louder. Another is concern about asthma in the neighborhood, the way the new parking garages and scattered parkland are being planned. But supporters, including most of the elected officials in the Bronx, think the borough will be better off for the more modern parks and economic development. Today is a crucial day for the new Yankee Stadium, as the City Council Land Use Committee is expected to vote. We'll get two views now on the new Yankee Stadium plan. First, from a supporter, the Bronx Borough President, Adolfo Carrion. President, welcome back to WNYC.
It's good to be back, Brian.
We'll go over some of these specific objections, like asthma concerns and scattered parkland, but tell us first why you have been and remain such a strong supporter of this new Yankee Stadium.
Well, you know, because it's not simply about a stadium, it's about the redevelopment of an entire neighborhood and creating improving an important destination for millions of people who come to New York City, and certainly improving a neighborhood that's been the host community to the New York Yankees since 1923, in what my estimation and the estimation of a lot of people has been a lopsided relationship, where the Yankees have benefited from the location and from a friendly host community, but the host community has really carried the burden of all the fans and not much economic benefit. And so when I first became borough president, I argued that we needed to redevelop the neighborhood, and that if the Yankees wanted to stay home, we would work with them and allow them to build a new stadium. In turn, that we would build a new park system, a Metro North station that is in the works, and I'm very hopeful of that, redevelop the waterfront, and plan for what will ultimately come, which is a high school for sports industry careers, a hotel and convention center, and that the Yankee Stadium facility should be and must be a year-round facility, so that we would build a Yankee Hall of Fame and museum and restaurants in the stadium, and that the stadium would be built in partnership with the community, with Bronx contractors and suppliers of material and Bronx workers, and hence we've gotten the start of what I believe is a constructive community benefits agreement or a partnership agreement with the community.
How much of this is actually promised? I think I heard your language as being hopeful that you'd get a new Metro North station, hopeful for a high school for sports careers, hopeful for a hotel and convention center.
Well, you know, this is a plan, and if you remember a few years ago, you had me on talking about the larger plan, and a plan, you know, is exactly that. It's a roadmap to where you want to be, to a destination, and so a major element in that is the redevelopment of Yankee Stadium, the construction of a new Central Park, and, you know, some of the critics are arguing that we've got a system of parks in the plan that is broken up into pieces. That was an old criticism that was addressed, and now we have essentially a Central Park with almost 6 more acres of parkland. Some of the parkland, of course, being on top of parking facilities, but when you're on the parkland there, you won't know the difference because it'll be a continuous, unbroken park leading all the way down to the Harlem River.
Is that true? Let me read to you from an article by Ann Schwartz on GothamGazette.com, written just this month. And she writes, instead of being set inside a large green space surrounded by hundreds of mature trees, The new fields would be scattered on separate parcels, including the tops of parking garages. The new recreational spaces would be closer to the highway and train tracks, and an additional 5 minute to half hour walk from where people live. Most of the trees would be cut down. The new stadium would go smack in the middle of the community's current park next to a residential area. So is any of that factually incorrect in your opinion?
Absolutely. Most of it is factually incorrect. In fact, the baseball fields, the new baseball fields, of which there will be four for Little League and high school baseball and college baseball, will be where the old stadium is now. They will be together. It's on parkland already. The design will be such that it will celebrate the history of the old stadium and the Yankees. And next to it will be a track and a soccer field and football field. That will be on top of a parking garage facility that is below grade. So, in fact, when you're looking across, there's this misconception that somehow you're going to have to climb on top of a parking garage to go to, you know, to be in the park, and that's, in fact, not the case. Thousands of trees, replacement trees, will be planted in the neighborhood and in the new park. Most of the trees, the elm and maple trees around the existing park where the new stadium will go, will be protected. There are some trees that will have to be felled because they sit right in the center where 164th Street is now. But, you know, in any large development, and any time that we try to improve the city and change the city, the cityscape, there will be some difficulty. And I can't, you know, honestly say that I disagree with everything that the critics have put forth. But, you know, there will always be critics. There will be sort of a balancing of winners and losers.
Another concern is asthma with the additional parking that the Yankees will build, encouraging even more people to take private cars to the stadium rather than mass transit on those 80-plus days a year. Is that what you want for the people of your borough?
Well, obviously the answer is no, but there is a misconception about the cars. The cars are there already, and they come into the neighborhood. They pour into the neighborhood, and they circulate in the streets looking for spaces.
It's going to be the same number of cars, you think?
And I believe it's going to be the same number of cars. We actually have a lower number of seats, less seats in the new stadium, 53,000 instead of 55 and change. So what will happen is that these cars that are already in that neighborhood will be funneled into the parking facilities. And what we've been trying to do, working with the city council and the administration, is to create dedicated parking for local residents on local streets so that fans will hopefully not be allowed on game days to park in the neighborhood, on the neighborhood blocks, on the residential blocks.
But you don't think there will be extra density of cars?
I don't think there will be. In fact, I think what will happen is that the cars that are already coming to the area will get tucked away in the parking facilities, and then we have to have a continuous aggressive enforcement of the parking regulations, which is an issue not only in this facility but everywhere that we have a major facility.
Why can't the Yankees just rebuild on the same spot that they're on now, like they did in the 70s, and avoid all this disruption?
Well, you know, the argument that they've made and the position they took was that the old stadium could not be renovated, and certainly not for a reasonable cost, and that, in fact, they had an opportunity to create a new state-of-the-art stadium.
Well, it's going to be knocked down anyway, so why couldn't they just start from scratch but right there?
What we thought was that we had an opportunity as a community, as a host community, to take full advantage of this this plan and say, you know what, we'll build a new park system here, but more importantly, we'll get the infrastructure that we need for this neighborhood and create a stronger destination and more job opportunities. You know, if we can get a school, the high school, which I'm very confident that we will, and if we can get a hotel and convention center, which I'm very confident that we will, there's a lot of interested parties. What we're talking about is changing the way, the perception of this place and the way it behaves. Not only will the region benefit, but certainly the local community will benefit. We're going to have a more usable park, a more beautiful destination, a lot of economic activity. And you know what? There is a problem with asthma in the Bronx, and it's growing in every major urban center. It is not unique to the Bronx. Certainly in the South Bronx, it's considered ground zero for asthma. And we have to do everything we can to improve all, you know, the entire environment for families that are raising their children in the South Bronx. And
one more thing, and we're going to bring on a voice of an opponent in just a minute. But Mr. Steinbrenner owns probably the most profitable sports entertainment company in history. Why are we, the taxpayers, chipping in $70 million to help fund his private parking garages and another $866 million in tax-exempt bonds, as I understand it, with one of these deals for payments in lieu of property taxes? Why isn't that corporate welfare for Mr. Steinbrenner, who doesn't need it?
What the city does every time that it wants to keep somebody here, and it's done in New York and it's done all across this country, when you want to make your city attractive to a business, is you create a certain number of incentives, and we've done it. This is obviously nothing new. what folks fail to understand is, I mean, the infrastructure improvements that need to be made, the parking garages there, will not be run by the New York Yankees. They will be run privately. And the other part of the deal is that we will have year-round parking for the residents of the community in the parking garages at a very reasonable cost. And that's part of the benefit of this development.
By the way, our next guest speaking against the new stadium will be a member of Community Board 4, appointed by you. Should he be worried that this is the end of his community board career for opposing you on this?
Well, I think that community board members play an important role. They need to understand, of course, who they're appointed by and why. You know, we have a plan to grow the Bronx economy, to make it strong, to make it more competitive. Any responsible community board member, I expect that they would reach out if they oppose me on something, that they would reach out and explain their position to me.
Why do you think you lost the majority of Community Board 4 on this?
I think that the community board was overwhelmed by a group of outside agitators and activists who came not from the neighborhood, but from around the region and other parts of the city. It's kind of the same group that was opposing Atlantic Yards and the Nets Arena. They run around town. They consider themselves community organizers.
But you don't think the majority of residents of that neighborhood are genuinely opposed?
Absolutely not. I think that there is a silent majority and there is a vociferous, loud minority. And I respect their opinions. We've made some changes to the plan, but this is progress. You know, leadership requires one to take into consideration all of the opinions and then to move forward with growth, and that's what we're doing.
All right. Our President Adolfo Carrion, thanks a lot.
Brian, thank you.
And we'll get the other side in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I want to invite you to our next Brian Lehrer Show public event. This topic, the topic this time is Cities at Risk, the Benefit of Hindsight. We will see how New York and other cities can learn from 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, and other major events. This will be Friday morning, April 7th, week from Friday. Our guests will be 9/11 Commission member and New School President Bob Carey, former director of FEMA, James Lee Witt, Martin O'Malley, the mayor of Baltimore, and Clark Kent Irvin, former inspector general for the Department of Homeland Security, who resigned recently over disagreements with Michael Chertoff. This event will be presented with and at the Milano School for Management and Urban Policy at the New School in the Tishman Auditorium, that's 66 West 12th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. Admission is free, but reservations are necessary for this one, and admission gets you opening remarks at 8:30, and then our panel discussion beginning at 9 o'clock next Friday morning. Then the event continues, if you want to stay, until 1 o'clock in the afternoon with another panel discussion and remarks hosted by Soledad O'Brien of CNN. So to reserve a seat, please call 212. Actually, just go to our events page at WNYC.org. You can reserve a seat through that, events at WNYC.org, or you can get more information at our listener services line, 212-669-3333, 212-669-3333. For Cities at Risk, the benefit of hindsight, a week from Friday morning. Well, we just heard from Bronx Borough President Adolfo Carrion in an interview that we taped earlier this morning because he wasn't going to be available for the rest of the week, and he's been such a lead proponent of the new Yankee Stadium. Now we will speak live with an opponent. He is Lucas Herbert, a member of Community Board 4 in the Bronx, which voted in the majority against the stadium plan. He's also a government relations officer with the advocacy group Save Our Parks, dedicated to opposing Yankee Stadium. And we will open up the phones now, and I want to make sure we get voices on from the Bronx. So we're going to give a special line to you right now. If you're in the Bronx, you can call actually our usual line, 212-433-WNYC. If you're calling from the Bronx, 212-433-9692. Everyone else can call 212-433-9640, 212-433-9640. Lucas Herbert, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So first of all, after the way that interview ended, it sounds like your appointment to the community board is in jeopardy. Do you want to react to that to start out?
Well, I mean, it's true that I have gone against what the borough president has laid out in his grand scheme for improving the Bronx. But, I mean, I have to remind everybody that, I mean, I work as an urban planner. I've had lots of years of training in urban planning. I have taken the AICP, the American Institute of Certified Planners Code of Ethics, and I can't advocate for something that I know is not right. And this project is a bad deal for this neighborhood. It's an urban planning disaster, and it has been planned without any community input and without any community visioning.
Talk about community input. You heard the borough president say that outside agitators are responsible for your community board's opposition rather than local opinion. What do you think about that?
Well, he must mean me. I mean, because I've been the one at the meetings, you know, it started at community board where we were presented with a plan. I reviewed all the documents in the plan. We were given a 700-plus page environmental impact statement. I read through the entire impact statement. I summarized the issues that were in the impact statement. I didn't change or alter any of the text. I basically made a cliff note type thing that I distributed to other board members and other members of the public. People read it over and they were like, hey, you know, this is a really bad deal. What's going on? And the whole idea has been to try to withhold information from the public. And, you know, I brought that information to the public, so I suppose I'm an agitator. But am I an outside agitator? No, I live in the community. I'm sitting in my apartment right now, I'm looking out the window, and I can see the stadium from my living room.
All right. You know, you do have almost all the elected officials from the Bronx in support of this, just the opposite of what happened with the Westside Stadium. How do you explain that?
Well, my guess is what we recently found out about a participation in labor force mitigation and community benefits program that we got a copy of. This program basically sets up a $900,000 slush fund that can be used. Basically, the fund would be administered by a quote, individual of prominence, unquote, selected by an advisory panel who shall be appointed by Bronx elected officials. So basically, the Bronx delegation is going to get together. They're going to pick one of their friends to run a slush fund, and then that fund can be used to dole out money to as political favors to nonprofit organizations in exchange for political loyalty and support.
But doesn't that also...
Why wouldn't you be behind a project that gives you a cash bonanza like that?
But doesn't that cash bonanza ultimately goes to community organizations in the Bronx, which benefits the borough, Adolfo Carrion would argue?
Well, that's true, but I mean, the mechanism that's set up for distributing the funds will just increase the Bronx machine's stranglehold on local government here. And if you ask local residents about their opinion about the Bronx machine controlling every aspect of government in the place that they live, I think most people would say, you know, I really don't like that. And I think most people are opposed to the idea of the Bronx machine gaining even more power over their lives.
So let's go over some of these amenities that the borough president said will benefit people in the long run in the neighborhood. He talked about reshaping the area as a new destination economically with shopping, a hotel, a convention center, a high school for sports careers. He talked about subsidized parking for local residents in these new facilities. He talked about the new parks themselves. It's supposed to be a beautiful new track, tennis courts that are going to be nicer even if they're scattered around. Make your case.
Well, basically, I mean, a lot of the stuff that the borough president is talking about is not included in the project at all. I mean, if you look at the public record, the environmental review documents for the project proposal, none of these things are in the proposal. You know, a high school, a fitness center, none of that's in there. The only thing that's in there is in the latest round of the environmental review, they say that they're going to set aside a 3/4 acre lot for the borough president to have whatever he wants in the lot. But they don't show that lot on any of the maps, any of the project maps. So nobody knows where it is, if it exists. I mean, none of that. No information has been given to anybody. I mean, how can we take what they're saying as the truth when they won't even put it in paper? They won't even put it on writing, and they won't put it on project maps.
I want to take some phone calls, 212-433-WNYC. And we're going to save those lines for people from the Bronx. And if anybody, I'll tell you what, all of our callers so far are on your side.
Oh, no surprise.
Nobody's calling in support of this. So now I have to say we're going to save at least a couple of lines for anybody who is in support of this new Yankee Stadium plan. Borough President Carrion said the community residents are mostly for it. It's just outside agitators who got to the community board members. We are saving lines now for anybody who is for this new Yankee Stadium plan. Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or 212-433-9640. As we continue with Lucas Herbert, member of Community Board 4 in the Bronx, opposing the new Yankee Stadium. Brian in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Brian.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's funny how you negotiate the phone and the balance. I don't think you would find someone who's in proposal or in favor of this proposal. I find that my question is just general. Why does every plan the city has, the World Trade Center, Yankee Stadium, Williamsburg Development Center, these plans, our officials, never suit the public interest? It's up to us as citizens of New York City to stop this. These politicians that we vote for some reason, do not suit public interest. There's always some special interest group. There's privileged minorities, maybe middle-class blacks or the Jewish population that may have an interest in these developments, but it's hard to be seen. These are ethnic neighborhoods that are being exploited. I heard that the Bronx is the third poorest neighborhood or the fourth in the United States, and I live near Fordham University. So I'm like embarrassed that this is happening for Yankee Stadium.
So Brian, what do you say to the borough president's arguments about all that economic development if it's such a poor neighborhood and that's such a bad thing? Brian, go ahead.
Well, I would say that he's disillusioned. I think every grand scheme of mice and men seems to be...
Okay, obviously we've lost Brian's cell phone, so Brian, my apologies. Carlos in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Carlos.
Hi, I'm also in opposition to this plan for the reasons stated by your guest. I think he has to be commended for coming forward against big, wealthy fueled political machine that, you know, it's obvious to anyone who's paying any attention to these things that, you know, there are a few winners and most of the people lose. And that's not, has nothing to do with strictly with Yankee Stadium and the redevelopment area. It has to do with what happens in New York and across the country and even in Iraq with Halliburton coming out a big winner.
Relating the redevelopment of Yankee Stadium to Halliburton?
Well, it just opened your eyes. I mean, I know you try to be keep a fair and balanced view on things, but sometimes fair and balanced just makes you naive. And the facts are right there for you to see that the people who are going to make out like bandits are the people who already have made out like bandits, and the community is going to get stuck with the bill. Anything controversial or anything unknown, I'm just telling you the way it is, and it's going to continue to be that way until people listen to facts brought forth by gentlemen like your guest right now, who's at least kind enough to do it live and not like Adolfo Carrion, who's a bagman for Steinbrenner, who will do a little soundbite recorded and then won't be around to take the phone calls because he'll be faced with very uncomfortable questions about whose interests are really being served here.
Carlos, thank you for your call. On the question of interests, Lucas Herbert, one of the things that seemed implicit in a lot of the Burr president's answers was that George Steinbrenner would take the Yankees and run if he didn't get these things.
I find that a little hard to believe.
Go ahead.
Basically, the Yankees have been here for, what, 82 years? It's my opinion that if they move to a place like New Jersey, they're going to alienate a huge amount of their fan base who will no longer go to their games. Also, New York City has changed a lot since the 1970s and 1980s when he was making his previous threats. I mean, New York has become a real destination, and I really don't believe that people are, in the position to make arguments that, oh, we're going to leave if you don't give us a big cash handout. I mean, I think that's a problem with city government in general. A recent report was issued by the Regional Plan Association about this. It's just that, why does the city keep giving away the store on every single development proposal? It's not, we don't have to. This is a degree of marketability for having your business or your development located in New York. We don't have to keep giving this welfare to organizations to locate here. They want to be here, and other municipalities drive a hard bargain. New York is the only one that really doesn't.
Gina in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. You're a supporter.
Yes, I am. I'm a supporter, not to say what perhaps some of the things that your guest is saying we should take a look at, but I believe that the Bronx has been sort of on the back burner for quite a long time economically. I think we need a boost. We need some kind of a little bit shot in the arm. I live in the Bronx, and you know what? We need parks. We need recreation centers. We need to have an economic boost. And rather than just sit and, put down a plan, why don't we sit down and figure out what the issues are and come to a reasonable conclusion as to what should be done?
Yeah, in a second.
Okay, sure.
Gina, you don't think this is ultimately just for the interest of Mr. Steinbrenner, as Carlos was indicating?
You know what? Let me tell you something. Everything that has been done in the city is for the interest of somebody. Somebody has always gotten something out of what is done here. And if something could be done, if everybody can sit down at the table and come up with a good solution, there is a solution that will make it reasonable, and I think that's what needs to be done. Like I said, the Bronx has been in the back burner. I've lived here for over 20 years, and we definitely need a shot in the arm. We need something.
Lucas Herbert, go ahead.
I think what Gina is proposing is an excellent idea, and that's basically what we've been proposing all along. We're not saying no to this development project. We're not saying no to a new facility for the Yankees. We just want them to come up with a project that benefits more than just the Yankees. I mean, right now, the Yankees put together this project. They did it with no community input. In other places, they have design charrettes. They do community outreach. What kind of project would relate best to the community? In this case, they did it behind closed doors. They came up with a project. They gave it to the community, and they said, here, this is the project. You can't change it. Just react to it. And we never had a voice. We were never given the opportunity to sit down and have a discussion. I mean, let me give you an example. I mean, when this project entered environmental review, they didn't even notice the community. I found out about the scoping meeting the meeting that you go to participate in to help draft the scope of the project. I found out about that meeting through my job, not from the public and not through my role on community board. I get on the phone, I call the district manager, he has no idea what's going on. So, I mean, how can they claim they're doing outreach and that they're working with the community when people like me don't find out about the project through our role on community board? I find out about it through my job.
Gina,
I didn't have that job?
Gina, you want to say one last thing before you go?
Well, like I said, I mean, we need to find a way. If you're saying, what you're saying is rather interesting, then as a Bronx person, I would want to know exactly when there is a next meeting. So maybe NPR will let us know what's going on as Bronxites, and we will become more involved.
Gina, thank you for your call.
Unfortunately, the meeting is today.
Well, a city council land use committee hearing is right now, I think.
It's going to start at 1 o'clock.
Start at 1 o'clock. So do you think you have the votes?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
Well, I mean, I like to think that we have the votes. I can pretty much guarantee that a lot of our Bronx officials are lining up behind the project because they want to dip into this slush fund. So, I mean, I don't have much hope for them. But I do want to reach out to the other city council.
And the final vote is supposed to be next Wednesday, I think.
That's correct. Today is just the subcommittee hearing. The subcommittee, I believe, will make a recommendation.
So what's the people who agree with you, what's the best thing they can do between now and then?
Oh, geez. I would just, call your local representative and tell them, look, this is not what we want. Start representing your constituents. If I have to listen to another Bronx politician, bemoan the fact that there's low voter turnout, I mean, this is case in point why nobody goes and votes anymore, because they feel like they have no power. And the Bronx machine has done their very best to make people feel less empowered.
Luke,
people need to take a hold of the power that they already have as voters and call these guys up and tell them, look, this is not what we want.
Right.
We want this plan to go back to the drawing board, and we want a
Lucas Herbert,
project to come back to us.
Member of Community Board 4 in the Bronx and a member of Save Our Parks, thank you very much for joining us. And if you want to hear more about the new Yankee Stadium debate, I'll be hosting a TV debate on the topic tomorrow night, including competing pictures of what the area would look like. That'll be tomorrow night at 7:30 on CUNY TV. That's Channel 75 on the New York City cable stations. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us here on the radio.